It's 8:34.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo here in the studio for the Coaches Show. Of course, in the springtime, we start the Coaches Show at 8:30. And we'll continue on till 10 o'clock this morning. This morning, Dick Newman is not in the studio. He's down at the Madison Memorial Baseball Field. Lacapra Valley baseball team has a big tournament down there today. I believe it starts at 10:30. Border West is there in YME. So three outstanding teams today here in Madison. So head on down to the Madison Memorial Baseball Field today and catch some great baseball. All right, we're going to take a break here in the Coach Show, and we'll hear from head coach Barry Bessonen of the Lacapra Valley boys golf team right after these words from our fine sponsors.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week at the Country Butcher, seafood is 25% off. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest. Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's talk Lacapra Valley boys golf with head coach Barry Bessonen. And good morning, Barry.
Hello.
Well, you're out of town at your daughter's graduation, I understand.
Yeah, I'm down in Omaha for the weekend to celebrate Chris's graduation from Creighton and couple of ceremonies and a graduation commencement coming up here, so a busy couple of days.
Yeah, well, was she in pre-med or something like that?
Yeah, neuroscience major, and she will be starting medical school in early August, I believe, down here at Creighton again.
All right, well, congratulations to you and your family and Carissa. That's awesome. Seemed just like yesterday she was just graduating.
Yeah, it goes quick.
Yep, for sure. Well, the boys team was busy this week, I think, huh?
Yes. Yes, we had played three different days, two 18-hole days and one 9-hole day. Started off on Tuesday, we went over to Raymond and played two separate conference meets. The first meet was the Central Minnesota Christian meet, which we were able to come out victorious with a score of 1-9. Second place was Central Minnesota Christian, followed by Dawson Boyd, Community Christian, Hortonville, and McRae. Mm-hmm. Individually for us, Carson Bessonen led us one under par 35, followed by Caden Stender with a 44, Noah Arndt with a 44, Kevin Carl with a 46, Matt Arndt with a 49, Griffin Kranz with a 50. To round out our scoring, so it's good to get a win there. A little breezy to start with. Of course, it's pretty wet from recent rain, including the night before. When we finished that one, we turned right around and started the second meet, which was the McRae meet. So they just kept playing. They didn't change groups or anything.
Yeah.
We were able to win that meet with a tiebreaker. We tied with Dawson Boyd at 163. We were able to win the tiebreaker because we had a better fifth score. So we got the first place, followed by Dawson Boyd, then Central Minnesota Christian Community, Christian, McCray, and Ordinville. In that one, again, we had three guys that shot 40 for us to lead us. Carson Dessenden shot 40. Gavin Carl came back with a 40, and Noah Arndt also shot 40 to you know, give us some good scoring momentum. And then Griffin Kranz followed up with 43 on round out of 163. Caden Stender shot 44. Matt Arndt shot 46 to round out the scoring. So it's nice to go in there for the day and get two wins and you know, help ourselves out in the conference there.
Where was that held? Where was that played at again?
Hawk Creek and Raymond.
Oh, yeah. I love that course. I've golfed there a few times. Yep. That's a pretty good gem.
It's a nice little course. Yep. Nice little course out there. They take a lot of pride in it.
Yep. All right. Next meet with for you guys?
Thursday, we went over to Willmar for the final regular season conference meet. We went to Valley Golf Course, Community Christian hosted. In that meet, we came in second. Dawson Boyd shot 163. We shot 165. Probably the best weather conditions of the season. Sun was shining. Temperature was nice. Wind was down. You know, it's a tricky little golf course. It's not very long, but it's very tight, and the greens are fast, and they've got a lot of slope to them. So it's a tricky little golf course, and it's not always easy to score on. So,
right.
But we were able to come, second place, two behind Dawson. Third was, I'm trying to recall, third was actually Community Christian. Fourth was McCray. Fifth was Central Minnesota Christian. Sixth was Ortonville to round out the field. Scoring for us, Carson Bessman led us with 39. Matt Arndt had a great round with a 40. Caden Stender at a 42. Gavin Carl at 44. Griffin Kranz at a 44. Noah Arndt at a 49. So that concluded our nine-hole portion of the conference schedule, with all six meets able to get those taken care of.
Good.
And then we followed that up with Friday at the Ortonville Invitational, which was rescheduled from April 29th because of conflicts. The field was cut in half. Originally, they were just looking at about 12 teams, and I think they ended up with about six. So, the team won. Personally, I wasn't able to be there, but I was able to follow it on the app. But the team came through. The guys won with a 346. Dawson Boyd was second. Community Christian was third, Ortonville was fourth, and then YME is fifth, Minnesota sixth, I believe. Scoring for us, Caden Sender was the medalist for the meet with an 81, followed by Griffin Kranz and Noah Arndt, who both shot 87, so they both were, I think, third and fourth place for the meet. Then we had Grant Bierke shot 91. Gavin Carl shot 95 and Matt Arndt shot 99 to round out our scoring. So the guys were able to go in there and playing without Carson, were able to go get a nice win. So that was encouraging to see. So, hopefully a good confidence booster as we go into next week.
Yeah. Boy, La Caparal Valley competing hard back and forth with the Dawson Boyd team, just like the girls are. Boys the same way, it looks like, huh?
Anyway, the last couple of weeks, I guess this last week, Dawson Boyd's played well. It's put up some good scores, and collectively as a team and individually, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes over the last couple of weeks of the season.
Yeah. So what do you got coming up this week? And section play should be starting pretty soon, huh?
Yeah, this week we got three 18-hole meets. Tuesday we go to Marshall for the conference tournament, where we'll find out, determine our conference team champion, our all-conference team. Number of those items will be figured out that day following that meet. Wednesday we go to Benson for the annual up there Wednesday morning. I think it's 10 o'clock. Start, and then Friday they're going to Tyler. RTR's having an all-invite on Friday with about five or six teams. About a 10:30 or 11 o'clock starts. We're going to be going down to Tyler to play on Friday.
Wow, okay. Busy week then. Yep. So when does section begin then, Barry?
The 22nd.
The 22nd. And where's that at again?
It's at Eagle Creek in Wilmer.
In Wilmer, okay. And that determines who goes to state then.
Yeah, there'll be 2 days of sections. The first day is the 22nd. The second day is May 29th.
Oh, so. Yeah, that's right. They do it that way. Yep, I remember that now.
So,
sure.
So they'll be a week apart between rounds.
Okay. All right, real good, so. Barry. Thank you for the report on the boys' team. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
All right, you bet. Thanks.
Head coach Barry Besson of the Lock Brawl Valley boys' golf team. We'll take a break and come back with more to Coach's Show after this.
Maybe you have a grad ready for college or a high schooler with a job. United Prairie wants to help make their financial transition easier with a UP checking account. They'll learn financial responsibility, and with our mobile tools, they can bank from anywhere. Plus, with a United Prairie debit card, they can get free cash withdrawals nationwide from any MoneyPass Network ATM. Online financial tools, access to funds, and more with a checking account from United Prairie Bank. We'll help you get there. Member FDIC.
A bridal brunch in honor of Isabel Sherm, bride-to-be of Dane Hans, will be held today. This will be a come-and-go event from 10 this morning till noon at the Appleton Golf Club, and everyone's welcome. For registry information, visit their Zola.com website. And that bridal brunch for Isabel Sherm, bride-to-be of Dane Hans, today from 10 to noon over at the Appleton Golf Club.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's talk girls golf, Lock Brawl Valley girls golf with head coach Kip Stender. Good morning, Kip.
Morning, Paul.
Beautiful day today.
Awesome day.
No wind.
Yeah, no wind. Well, if we were golfing, there'd be wind.
See the northern lights last night?
I did not. Oh, no.
That was incredible. So.
Okay. Cool.
All right. Well, tell us how the girls did this week.
All right. Well, we had a meet in McRae, or Raymond. McRae hosted, and Central Minnesota Christian hosted 2 9-hole events. I'm not sure. Well, the McRae event, we finished second with a 174. Dawson Boyd was first with a 163. In that event, Lindsay Lund was first with a 39. Molly Halverson second with a 40. Alyssa Sudinski third with a 40. Caitlin Kittleson shot 44 for 7th, Peyton Sachs 45, Kate Alstead 45, Grace Fosick 49, and Carly Kranz a 59. Then the Central Minnesota Christian 9, we finished 2nd again. Dawson Boyd won it with a 179. Acaparo, we had a 182, and Community Christian 217. Lindsay Lund shot a 41 for 1st, Corey Bristow took 2nd from McRae with a 42. Caitlin Kittleson was 3rd with a 43. Molly Halverson, 44. Peyton Sachs, a 46. Kate Alstead, 49. Grace Fosick, 52. And Carly Kranz, a 64. So I think it was the second 9 we shot that 174. And that's a good score for us. And then Dawson shot very, very well with a 163. So they had 4 girls under 42. So that was a real good round for them. And then we went to Community Christian in Wilmer on Thursday, played Valley Golf Course there. Dawson Boyd won the event with a 185. We were second with a 193, and Community Christian was 3rd with a 225. Kyler Homland won the event with a 43 on the tiebreaker, with Lindsay Lund shooting a 43 from Dawson, and Alyssa Swedinski shot a 44. Caitlin Kittleson led the Eagles with a 45, Molly Halverson 46, Grace Fosick 50, Peyton Sachs 52, Kate Alstead 58, and Carly Kranz a 66. The unique thing about that golf course, which I don't think we had any penalty strokes with it, but every single hole, there's out of bounds on the right side. So if you're a slicer, that's a tough course for you, but we don't have any girls that are slicing, but just a tough little course, and so that led us into yesterday. We went up to Ortonville for the makeup date for the Ortonville invite. Not as many teams were able to make it, but the course is in great shape. It always plays nice. It's a good course, good rough that we can get practice in if we get in there. Nice greens to putt on. So we tied with Dawson with a 366, and we won the tiebreaker on the fifth score. So we did win the event. Caitlin Kittleson led the Eagles with her personal best 81. Alyssa Swedinski was second with an 87. Lindsey Lund and Molly Halverson tied for third. Lindsey Lund won the tiebreaker with 89s. Grace Fosick shot a 97. Peyton Sachs a 99. Kate Alstead a 106. And Carly Kranz a 118. So that kind of rounds out our what we call our regular season. We start postseason on Tuesday at the conference championship down in Marshall. And we have the Tri-State Invitational down in Bunker Hills next Friday, Saturday, and then the following Wednesday after that is sections. So it's postseason now, and working hard to get the girls better. They're getting close to their peaking at the right time. That's been our goal, is to peak at the right time, and they're on track to do that.
All right, real good, Kip. Thanks for the report this morning, and good luck next week then.
All right, thanks. I'd just like to mention real quick on the JV side of things, Macy Zarbuck, since we last spoke, she's won two JV meets. She took first twice and third once, so she shot 53, 58, 56 in JV meets. So she had a nice JV run there.
All right, that's Kip Stender, head coach of the Lock Paw Valley Girls Golf Team. We'll take a break and be back with more of the Coaches Show after this.
The spring rushes on. Let the Lock Paw Co-op Oil Company of Dawson and Madison help. From high-quality Senex petroleum products, to service stations with service bays and 24-hour fueling, to our agronomy division with a complete line of equipment and staff to handle all your fertilizer, chemicals, spraying, and seed needs. That's the Lock Paw Co-op Oil Company of Dawson and Madison, serving Lock Paw County for over 96 years with dependable service and quality Senex products. Your local Senex supplier and your partners in agriculture.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Hey, let's talk tennis. Dawson Boyd, Lock Paw Valley Tennis, the bad guys with head coach Austin Ireland. Right, Austin?
We're bad, that's for sure. Yeah, the bad guys. Bad to the bone, that's kind of our theme song.
What other names you got for the boys, eh? Any other names?
No, something we were kind of called the Black Eagles, but I don't ever, you know, but, yeah, they like the bad guys, you know. It's because you got to have that villain-type attitude, because everyone loves a good villain. That makes a good story.
Yes, it does. The boys are having fun, though, aren't they?
Absolutely, and, you know, we're seeing some growth, and finally we've seen some good weather, which is the more important thing.
Yeah, how'd your week go this week?
Good. You know, it was kind of a hectic. We were scheduled to play on Tuesday. That ended up not working out, but we got our pitchers done, so that worked out. It worked out in our favor. We're in Benson right now. We're going to take on Pipestone here in a little bit. Benson's playing New London, so we're kind of waiting for them to clear off, and then we're gonna play them here. And a nice Saturday for tennis. You know, if we win this one today, it should solidify us as a 5 seed. And hopefully we play YME, you know, at the 5-4. We kind of, a lot of these guys want a rematch. You know, we lost 4-3 against YME, so it'd be really nice if we can get the win today. And yeah, considering that. But sorry to answer your question. It was a good week. Thursday we went to Wilmer, and all the stars were. We had perfect weather, and it was a good matchup. It's always good, you know, us and Wilmer. We, you know, competitive wise, we're pretty even keel with them guys, so it's always good to get that in.
Good. All right, the stats on that, or how
sorry,
they do?
Yeah, we went up 4-3. It was very unique. We had Gunnar Olsen, who's been playing one or two. We moved him around. We played one singles for us. He played against his stepbrother, Gabe LaRue from Wilmer. So I don't know if I've ever seen this before, someone playing their, you know, their stepbrother
wow.
in a match before. That was you know, Gunnar was flexed. He's a little bit stronger than him, so I don't know if that was intimidation, but Gunnar ended up winning 6-2, 6-1, did a nice job just controlling the pace of the match and just, yeah, coming up and just intimidation. You know, that's the thing about bad guys. They're scary. You got to look out for them, and we're a scary team, and they did a nice job at one single.
Okay.
Luke Stock at two singles. He played their, you know, usual, their one, number one. He played a really good kid, Brian Newberg, ended up losing 6-2, 6-1. We just purchased the Topspin Pro. And that's Luke's really starting to hit with better topspin now, so it's really been beneficial. it's good to see things like that, tools that specialize a certain skill set, and the guys, utilizing that, and you see results. That was good to see. It was a lot of good points there. Just couldn't quite pull it off. Losing straight sets. Mitchell Myers at third singles loss. He lost in straight sets, 6-1, 6-2. Just hasn't been able to trust his shot. He's a good kid, great player, but Mitchell has got to trust his shots a little bit, but he's got to hit straight at the right time. The other guys are clicking, and we got to get everyone to click at the same time, which is impossible to do in every sport. You want to get everyone clicking, but and then he ended up losing at three singles down. Brody Bonson at four singles did a nice job. He ended up winning for us, 6-0, 6-1. He's been dealing with a little bit of knee injury, but he powered through, went one in straight sets. I won doubles. We had Tony Reap and Brody Nelson. They ended up losing their first set, 6-4. And then they won the second set, 5-7. Or 7-5, excuse me. And then they went into the third set. They had the option to do a tiebreaker. I'm glad they played the setup because you only get better by the more you play. And I ended up losing 6-3 in that third set. Hudson Geezy and Thomas Felton, they did a nice job at second doubles, winning 6-0, 6-2. And Jeremiah Stevens and Gannon Andrews did a nice job. They picked up a win at third doubles. So, yeah, we it's been a long time coming, not to quote David Crosby or anything, but, we finally got another win on the year. So that was good to see.
Good. Just the one match this week then, huh?
This is that was non-conference on section, but okay. This is kind of nice. We get some decent weather, and we can practice and retool some things and get ready for sections because, we had our lineup Friday had to have been submitted already. So we have our lineup submitted for sections. That's going to start. We have one match. After today, we'll only have one match on the regular season. So
then sections start, huh?
Yeah, that's on the 20th.
And where's that? Where's the first round at?
Yeah, that's going to be at the higher seed.
Okay.
Or for in our case, whoever we play.
Okay.
We're the Road Warriors, remember. So, But I think hopefully if we win today, we get the 5 seed. The plan is probably play that first round. We'll probably play in Granite Falls. But usually the higher seed will host that round one. And then the following day is the semifinals and finals in Redwood.
Okay. Good.
So, got a good chance. We'll see. Everyone's got to show up and bring our A game. But it's always kind of a goal is to get to that second day of team section down in Redwood, and they kind of miss the whole day, and they pick wherever they go. Usually, we go out and eat at some buffet or something like that. So it's always kind of a treat. We got to earn that though, and hopefully, we can get that this year.
All right. Anything else on boys tennis, Austin, that you can think of? You got a JV or?
Yeah, so we have a JV. We haven't had Darren. Darren Rails from Lacaparo, he didn't make it at all this week. He's been kind of sick, so we're kind of missing him. But Aaron Will had a nice match the other night. He's our lone seventh grader. Ended up losing a close one. And then we had Cole Percy, too. He's Nicole Skullroot's kid there. He did a nice job. He's come out this year and gotten a lot better. He lost a close one 8-5 yesterday. And, he came out. He said, I want to be the manager. Well, after a while, we kind of said, if you're going to be here, man, you're going to play. And he's been playing and he's been enjoying it. So
awesome.
Yeah, we had a couple other. Miguel, of course, De La Torre Fentes from Spain. He played a match and they were kind of, kid was nervous. Oh, he's from Spain? Oh, I hear it's Fuerte Sanchez, which is sometimes really, really good. And Miguel said, I am the exception to that rule. But he's been playing, did a good job. And
good. Yeah, so you got some good guys coming up then.
We have to call them bad guys because we got to be as villains in a story.
Okay. All right, Austin. Appreciate the report on the boys' tennis team this morning. Good luck today. And we're at Benson today, you said, right?
Yep. We're just pulling it out, Benson. So we're just kind of waiting for the matches. But
okay.
It's a good match today.
What do you got coming up this week then? Did you say?
Oh, yeah. So on Tuesday, we play McRae.
Okay.
And, that'll be our cap it off. And
your last regular season match, then, is on Tuesday.
Yep, last one.
And the sections start what day?
The 20th.
The 20th, okay. That's the following Monday, okay.
Yep. And this would be nice to have them a couple more practice days so we can, because the individual tournament, we can set our lineup. We usually have guys try out, and you're allowed two singles teams and two doubles teams, so we can kind of play off of that and just get ready for that. So.
Okay. Thanks, Austin. Talk to you next Saturday, then.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Yeah, Austin Ireland, head coach of the Dawson Boyd La Caprile Valley Bad Guys, they call themselves. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
KLQP, Madison Dawson. Time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
Welcome to the second half of the Coach's Show here on this beautiful Saturday morning. Of course, we start in the spring. We start at 8:30. You already heard from the golf coaches and Austin Ireland, boys tennis. Now this hour here, we're going to talk track, baseball, and softball. Here till 10 o'clock. I just want to encourage everyone also, not in the studio this morning, he's down at the Madison Memorial Baseball Field. La Caprile Valley baseball team, they have a huge tournament there today. Border West, who's a very good team, and YME, also a very good team, and La Caprile Valley, all three teams will be, I think it starts at 10:30 this morning. Down at Madison Memorial Baseball Field. So you might want to take that in today on this beautiful Saturday. John Sherb's in the studio. Good morning, John.
Morning.
Beautiful day.
Oh, it's been rare and to find these days.
No wind yet.
I know, no wind. Well, give it a little more time. It'll start blowing as usual. But
did you get a chance to watch the Northern Lights last night?
Yes, got out and watched that last night, about 10 o'clock, 10:30 last night. They were impressive just to see those around.
Yeah, I actually drove out by your place to get out of the city lights and stuff. And it was kind of a slow start, but, boy, it really picked up.
Yeah, it really picked up later. You know, 10 o'clock, you kind of saw a little bit of a glimmer. Then as it got later, it really got interesting. It was neat seeing that.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. I've seen the Northern Lights before, but nothing like that. That was crazy. All right, track meet. One track meet this week?
One meet. We ran on Monday at Olivia. Not the greatest conditions. You remember Monday, really, really windy. And it was warmer, but that south wind was really strong. You know, everybody was giving us a hard time when we had the NIBBY invite that was a windy day and everything else. And I said, well, this is a little bit stronger than what we had there. And plus, we had a little more protection than they had there because the whole south side of their football field has no trees up at all. So it was straight gale force winds coming down that straightaway. So if you were running the 100, you ran into the teeth of it and you fought that through. So not the greatest of conditions for the kids, if you're going for performance. But, you know, again, you still got to compete. And that's the biggest thing you keep preaching to these kids is it affects everybody. How do you let it affect you mentally? Yep. And you got to run smarter races. So, again, it's very, very tactical, especially if you're in the races of more than one lap. You got a lot of things you got to dictate. Same thing with relays. Relays you got to dictate with your handoffs because, again, someone coming hot or someone's going to be dying into the wind. You got to really evaluate better. And that's the toughest thing. And you know, good and bad, these kids have got to learn and understand it. You would think most of them by now have it down. But, again, we've been moving a lot of kids in and out and trying to do some different things. So had a couple issues with that with the handoffs. But, again, I'm glad we're doing it now. And hopefully we'll get it out of our system ready to go when it comes down the road.
Okay. And at Olivia, is the track, is that around the football field?
Yeah, it's around the football field.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I've never been in a track meet there.
Yep. No, it's on the southwest side of the school in Olivia, and it's a straightaways are north and south. So
you're running into the wind.
Straight into that wind. So we're on north end to the south end. It was tough on the kids. But
and if you weigh 98 pounds, that's pretty tough.
Yes, it is. Yep. And if you're 6'1", 210 pounds, you're also tough running in the wind too, because you got all that wide area to knock the wind down. You're a little guy that going, thank you for leading the way. You'd want to do that.
Okay.
But it was good to see where we're at to find out another race. And we got it out of the way, which is nice because with conference next week, we got able to get a meet in early this week. And then we were able to get some training and kind of get these guys back in the phase of the thing. So starting on the boys' side, boys 100-meter dash, Tygan Allpress was fifth overall at 12.64. Landon Hursom was 24, the 16 flat. 200-meter dash. We tried getting Brayson in there. Brayson won the 200, really nice time. The first time running the 200 this year is in the open. He's ran some relays for us, but he's been on that. He was first, 23.64. Mason Bothan was sixth at 26.45. Gunnar Olsen was 8th at 27.13. Landon Hurston was 21st at 34.45. 400-meter run. Tayden Clark finally got him back on the track after he was nicked up. He was sick. We didn't run him the week before. Now we're hopefully getting him back. Hopefully he's getting the crud out of his system, trying to get everything cleaned up. But he looked very good in the quarter. He was second overall at 56.31. Tanner Callis was right behind him in third at 57.32. 800-meter run. Gavin Carl went out and attacked it very, again, 800, no one really wanted to lead, so he just went out and attacked and see what happened. He got caught with the last 100 to go, but still, he kind of set the tone to see if he's strong enough to finish and just kind of, as a workout and see how it goes. And he ended up getting second at 2:14.44. Cade Solom was fifth at 2:33.75. Mile, Gavin did the mile right away. No one really wanted to do anything in that one. We talked about being patient early, don't get caught in that wind and see what happens, but no one wanted to do anything with it all, and he just took off and went on pace, and nothing fancy, just went out and worked by himself, and there was, by the time he was going to the last lap, he had a 200-meter lead on everybody else, and so pretty much was in on his own, fought himself through with a time of 5:10.32. Hurdles, 110 hurdles. James Weber was first at 17.10. And, again, when he's running 16s, 15s, you can tell right there, hurdling with that wind, it affected him a lot. Riley Borman was second overall at 20.97. Excuse me. The 300 hurdles, James was first overall at 42.81. Riley Borman was fourth at 51.43. 4x1, boys, they end up finishing second overall with a time of 50.52. And that was Dave Torgerson to Noel Meyer to Mason Bothan to Tygan Allpress. 4x2 had some issues on that. We had issues on our first handoff. Missed the guy. Hand was there and everything else, and just missed the handoff by about an inch. And that just, when you're trying to put that through, and most of the kids, once they get used to it, they realize they get to that bad zone where they're going to be out of the zone. They start dead, stop, and they missed it and went to the ground outside the zone, everything else. So, and that's a learning process, and just keep going, and you get back on the horse next week and we do it again, and hopefully things will be better. We learn from it. 4x4, they ended up finishing first with there. We ran 3:47.18. Like I said, in that wind, I think that's a very good time for them. That was James Weber, Tayden Clark, Gavin Carl, and Tanner Callis. 4x8 finished second, 9:57.20, and that was Tayden Clark, Tanner Callis, Cade Solom, and Matthew Bothan. Shot put, Noel Meyer finished fifth, toss of 34.06.5. Anthony Tafoya was seventh at 34 feet 3 inches. Then Gunnar Olsen was 12th at 32 feet 9. And Elias Alonso was 15th at 28.06. Discus, Gunnar Olsen was fifth in there with 94 feet and 9 inches. Noah Meyer was 12th at 78 feet 5 inches. Anthony Tafoya was 14th at 74 feet 3 inches. And Elias Alonso was 18th at 68 feet 2 inches. High jump, Brayson Boyk won the high jump, 6'4". Again, with that wind and everything else and that backside, to be able to control your body to not get thrown in that bar with that wind, that's a really good performance for him in those conditions. Eli Hagelin had his personal best. He went 6'2", so he's right hitting things at the right time. So hopefully we've got him back being healthy and ready to go. And then Mason Bothan was 7th at 5'4". Long jump, Brayson Boyk was first, 20'10". And then Tygan Allpress was fifth at 72 feet. I wish that was. That'd be a long jump. He was fifth at 17 feet, 2 inches and a half. Triple jump. Brayson Boyk won it with a jump of 43.4. That's his best of the season. He did have a bigger jump that was a solid foot farther, and he scratched by about half an inch. So he was on the board just off, and he was hoping for a big one there, and that would have been huge. But still, again, being consistent, that's what you're looking at. And then Eli Hagelin was third. He was 40 feet 7 inches. In the scoring-wise, the boys ended up winning. We beat McCray by I think it was like 27 points. It was only five teams. So, again, strengths, you don't really have that. When you get to the conference next week, they'll be a little bit tighter with that, with more teams involved. Girls, in the 100-meter dash, Hannah Oy was fifth at 15.26. Adiana Specht was 11th at 15.93. Maren Woolley was 13th at 16.3. Becca Torgerson was 15th at 16.61. And then Madison Lee was 21st at 17.63. Morgan Anderson was our top 200-meter runner. She was 6th overall at 31.47. Ella Stock was 14th at 33.35. 15th was Becca Torgerson at 33.77. 20th was Maren Woolley at 35.40. And then 24th was Madison Lee at 27.24. 400-meter dash, Addie Tufthill was second, 104.56. And Micaiah Poost was sixth at 107.11. And Morgan Hansen was 10th at 110. 800-meter run, Bryn Glege was first overall. She ran a time of 235 flat. Chloe Glege was fifth at 245.55. And then Taylor Wood was... I think actually Chloe's was actually a personal record. I think that's right on her best of the year. So she's coming in with that. And Taylor Wood was seventh at 251.61. Sadie Rosendahl was eighth at 253.07. Harper Grunholz was ninth at 257.35. And Abigail Alonzo was 11th at 3 minutes and 7 seconds and 76 tenths. In the 1600-meter run, Chloe Glege was second overall, 556.95. Got caught in no man's land a little bit. She got early, got the first bold girl, got out for the first lap, and then she started really slowing it down. And Chloe was choice with either sit or kick or what, and she decided to go out on her own. And she paid for it, but again, that's part of that learning process. Again, it's always evaluate and go and don't get caught and paid for it, but she still fought through it, and that's what you look at. Brooklyn Sterrett was seventh at 709.44. 100-meter hurdles, Ayanna Hasta was third at 19.11. Alexis Olson was seventh at 20.95. Ella Stock was ninth at 23.44. Becca Torgerson tried her first time hurdling. She's never hurdled all year, and she wanted to try a little bit to work that in. She ended up finishing 11th at 23.99. 300 hurdles, Alexis Olson was second overall, 57.62. In the 4x1, they ended up finishing third at 58.83. That was Atiana Specht, Bailey Bothan, Sadie Hacker, and Hannah Oy. 4x2, that was, they were third at 204.88, and that was Bailey Bothan, Sadie Hacker, to Sadie Rosendahl, to Atiana Specht also. 4x4 was third overall at 438.57. And that was Micaiah Poost to Bryn Glege, Taylor Wood. And then we had to put Sadie Rosendahl. Addie was not quite up to snuff yet. She was just trying to come back after her illness she had. So we were trying to get her back, and she wasn't quite ready. So that's we had Sadie jump in there, and she filled in very well for us. 4x800-meter relay girls, they were second overall, 1126.96. Bryn Glege, Taylor Wood, Harper Grunholz, and Micaiah Poost. Shot put, Haley Anderson was first with the shot put. She ended up throwing 32 feet 5 inches. Isabel Longhenry is sixth at 27 feet and a half inch. Discus, Haley Anderson was fourth overall at 86 feet 9 inches. Seventh was Isabel Longhenry, 73 feet. And that's best for the year on her. Mikey Eliason was 14th in there. She was 61 feet in the disc. And then Amber Hernandez was 19th at 46.10. High jump, Ayanna Hasta was second overall at 5 foot. Sadie Rosendahl was 10th at 4 foot 4. And then Reese McCoy was 12th at 4 foot. Long jump, Reese McCoy was 7th, 13 feet 2 inches. Then triple jump, Reese was also 4th in there. She was a jump of 30 feet and 3/4 of an inch. Morgan Anderson was 5th overall. She was 28 feet 11. And then Annika Lalem was 10th overall. She was 25 feet even. Scoring-wise, we were ended up being 3rd. You had McCray, pretty sound. Their girls' team is very loaded. They're... Next week, you're going to find out how good Canby and those who are going at each other at the conference meet. It'll be interesting. And then Bold was 4 points in front of us. So a good meet to kind of get something in to try to kind of get ourselves in. Mm-hmm. Wish we'd had better weather, you know. And also, Monday meets are not always traditionally very good, right, just because kids coming off weekends, you're not sure what kids, you know, how their weekend was. They got a lot of sleep. You know, there's a lot of things. It's very, very tough to compete at the high school level on a Monday, but you still got to step up and compete, and that's what you look at.
Yep, same for everybody, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. You mentioned conference meet this week.
Conference next week, Thursday at Lakeview. That's going to be, okay. Yep, and I think that's a 4, I don't remember what it was, yeah. 4 o'clock, I think it's like 4 o'clock field and 4:45 running. Looking at it going in, you know, the biggest thing all year is, you know, we're trying to develop kids, but, you know, some of these, you know, we got some kids kind of waiting for them to blossom. We got a bunch of kids that just are right on the edge, and I don't know if they're just not sharp, ready to go yet, haven't felt comfortable all season, or just kind of going through the motions a little bit. That's what's going to really decide the conference. Boys, you know, we won it last year in a close one at Lakeview. We're going to be in a dogfight again. I like our chances. I think we're sitting pretty good. We've got a lot of events filled this year. You know, last year at the conference, we had a lot of dead events. We still found ways to win it. This year, we're filled a little bit more, so that should give us a little bit more depth that way. And so I like our chance there. It's still going to come down to three teams, really, on paper. It's going to be us, McCray, and Lakeview. Those three teams are going to fight on the boys' side.
On the boys' side.
Yep, okay. On the boys' side.
How about the girls?
Girls, you're going to see a team that, you know, Canby has won it, oh, God, how many years in a row now? They probably won it 5 years in a row. They've always been so deep, so strong, and we haven't really seen a full, you know, match with them yet. But them and McCray has really been loaded this year. They got a couple new kids out this last year. That are really excelling them. So those two teams are pretty much being that front side of fighting it out and seeing where they is. You know, I like our girls the way they've been finishing and doing well. We've got enough, you know, as I always say, horses on the team. It's just the horses haven't found that all-out level yet, and that's what we got to find. So we're going to be on, you know, we're going to be on paper-wise. We're sitting about third, but anything can happen. You got to come to compete and ready to go and handle the challenges, because you're going to have moments where it's going to go well, and you have moments that aren't going to go real well. You just got to be able to manage it and compete every time you step on that track or in that, you know, long jump, high jump, or whatever field event you got.
Right. So just the one conference meet next week?
Yeah, we have one conference meet. We have a junior high meet. Oh, I should mention the junior high had their conference meet on Thursday down at Tracy. The boys ended up finishing third down their junior high, where they scored 100 points down there, which I was very impressed with that. We had some really good performances down there. The girls end up finishing fifth, and I thought they ran well. They just didn't have that depth-wise on that. But I thought the girls competed very well, had some nice marks there, so we had that. But then we also have our junior high meet on Tuesday at home, and then our junior high kids will also go to Olivia on Thursday. So we're going to split some kids up, because there will be some kids that compete at the junior high meet. We'll have to go to the varsity, so we'll split a little bit. So we've got the one meet for us on the varsity level.
When sections start, where's the section meet?
Section meet will be the following Thursday. That'll be in Monty.
Monty.
Yep.
Okay.
So basically, we are on a Thursday run now of conference Thursday, subs Thursday, and then the state meet will be that Thursday, Friday. So that's kind of what we're the fun is over now. We got to start, you know, showing what we've got for work throughout the season.
That's right. At Lakeview on
Thursday.
Yeah. Yep.
And that they've got a nice facility. They've got that big scoreboard. They have also on internet.
Dude,
you know,
Phil does a great job on the online. Streaming,
and that online streaming is good, because it's nice to look at some things, and they have that online streaming where you can look at that. And so they've really put together, and that scoreboard up there is nice. They have the races on, and you see the finish line. So, I mean, it's
cool.
They've got some money involved in that, so that's really, really a nice facility they've got there.
Yeah, great facility, and Phil does a great job, too. So.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for the report. Hey, before I let you go, do you got any alumni running college now, or the Freetleys done?
The Freetleys are done. Mikey Qual was finishing up at Duluth. That was the last one. Then I saw a post, he
was on a relay team that broke a record or something like that.
Yep. I have not been able to get up and see Mike. I've been trying to get some information as we go on. So, you know, hopefully we've got some kids this year that could go on to compete next year. So it'd be kind of nice to get that, you know, you can go and watch some of these kids competing, you know. So that right now we're kind of, Mason Bramer was competing up at Valley City. I don't know if he's still up there or not. I haven't. He avoids me. I don't know. I must be just kind of – he just kind of doesn't say much. I can ask his parents what's going on. Sometimes they go, oh, we don't know exactly where he's at either. So, but Mason has been doing a little bit too for us. So we've had some – we've been lucky having kids competing at that D3, D2, and D1 level.
Yeah, my grandson. It's actually his birthday today, Zane Ramo. He's 15. He runs for Foley. And so I'm going up to watch him this week. Haven't been to a track meet up there yet. So he does pretty good. He's got the Ramo speed.
He's got the Ramo speed. Yep. That's good.
Well, actually, he does. 100 meter and a 100 meter, the high jump, shot put. Those are the three main events, I think. So, All right. Just got to give a shout-out to my
grandson. No, that's good. That's you got to do because I've got Kester and Elbers. They've got their grandchildren. They went up last week. They went up to DL to watch them compete. Oh. And then I think they competed one day, and then the next day they competed at Grand Forks. So those two went up and did that. I said, you got to go do that, too, because you get a chance to watch your grandchildren run and compete. So, you know, the old coach, the guy coaching, kind of throw a little things at what they're doing, which is good. And those two do a really good job.
Yeah, they do. All right, John, thanks for coming in this morning, talking track with us.
Sounds good. Thank you.
John Sherb, head coach of the Dawson, Lockerbie Valley Dawson Boyd track team, boys and girls. And we'll take a break. We'll hear from baseball coach Darby Biergon after these words from our fine sponsors.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash.
This week at the Country Butcher, seafood is 25% off.
Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Farmers Union Oil Company of Montevideo and Granite Falls, providing Senex Premium Diesel Fuels. Propane, oil, grease, and now DEF delivery. For any of your farm, business, or personal needs, please call Farmers Union Company of Montevideo and Granite Falls at 320-269-8861. That's 269-8861. Thank you, and we appreciate your business. That's Farmers Union Oil Company of Montevideo and Granite Falls.
Well, welcome back to the Culture Show. We're going to turn our attention to baseball because here in just an hour, the first game will be at 11 o'clock, the first game of the tournament that we've had, the last 10 years, I think, between Border West, Yellow Medicine East, and Lacaparo Valley will start with Border West and Lacaparo Valley starting at 11, and the Border West and Yellow Medicine East to follow, and then Yellow Medicine East and Lacaparo to finish up the day. So with me now is Darby Biergon, and you had a busy week, Darby.
Yeah, and it's going to get busier today.
Yeah. So let's go through the games that you've had already this week.
Sure. We had two games this week, Dick. On Tuesday, we hosted Lakeview. It was supposed to be a away game, but because of wet field conditions on Lakeview, they moved the game to Madison. So we were the away team on the scoreboard, so anybody driving by might have been confused as to why we ended up winning the game. But we were the visitors, and we came away with 11-0 win. And then on Thursday, Canby came to town, and we came away with another 11-0 win and two pretty stellar performances by our pitchers. So Dylan Geyser started on the mound for us against Lakeview, and he threw a no-hitter. So close to a perfect game. I think he walked one or two. But great game by Dylan. And then on Thursday, Brock Bjerneel backed it up with a five-inning no-hitter against Canby. So two no-hitter back-to-back games for the Eagles. And that's four on the year for us, actually, when we combine them with we had a couple pitchers throw no-hitters together in two other games.
Yeah, well, let's go through that game on Tuesday. Offensively for the Eagles?
Yep, for sure. So we put up three runs in the first, followed up with two in the second, three more in the third. We put one up in the fourth, and then we finished two more in the sixth inning to make it 11-0 and 10-run rule against Lakeview. So hitting for the Eagles that day, Dylan Koenig, the leadoff, he was 1-for-2 with two runs. He had three stolen bases, two walks, and one RBI. Dylan Geiser scored a run for us, and he walked. Caden Molden was 1-for-3 with two runs and two RBIs. The hit was a double, hard hit in the wind that made it all the way to the fence. So I think that one might have touched the road or close to the road if the wind wasn't blowing so hard in. And TJ Mitchell was 1-for-1 with two runs, two stolen bases, and he had three walks on the day. Davis Patzer was 2-for-3 with a run. He had four stolen bases and an RBI. So Davis was really moving around the base paths for us on Tuesday. Baxter Colliff came in. He went 1-for-1 with an RBI. Cale Benson was 1-for-1. I'm sorry, 0-for-1, but he scored a run with two walks. Landon Weber has been playing catcher for us, so he was 0-for-2, but he battles. So he gets down and counts, and he battles, and seeing more pitches from the pitcher and stuff like that always puts him at a higher pitch count. So we talk, if you're struggling, just keep battling. That's part of baseball. You'll come through it. So Webb's doing a good job battling through some of that. And Peyton Rademacher in our 9 spot went 2-for-2 with two runs, two stolen bases, and he had two RBI. So really good production from Peyton down in the 9 spot. And that shows the people in front of him there at the 6, 7, 8 getting on base to be able to have him hit him in. So, and then we got to talk about Dylan Geiser's performance on the mound. So like I said, he had 82 pitch, 6 inning, no-hitter. I don't have the batters he faced because he let a few guys on, but he had 13 strikeouts and only two walks. So Dylan just really threw the ball hard. He didn't mix it up that very much. He was just hitting his spots with his fastball. So really good job by him, and good job by the team to put up the run so we could end it quick too.
Okay, and then Thursday's game?
Sure, and then we came back. We were going to practice on Wednesday, sat in the dugout because of lightning and thunder, and Coach Benson came over and he said, you know what? We got to wait half hour after this lightning and stuff like that. So that puts us at 5:30, and they've got dollars for scholars tonight. So last night we didn't practice, and we came out and hit the ball really well. So maybe we got to try that again sometime. But hitting for us, I might have to find my stats here. Dylan Koenig scored a run. Dylan Geiser scored a run. Koenig had a couple stolen bases also. Caden Molden had a hit, a hard hit between first and third, and he also walked. Caden Mortensen had a wonderful day at the plate. He was 3-for-3 with two RBIs and a double. He hit the ball really hard, and you can see Caden's coming into his own because he's hitting right center. And when he starts hitting right center, that means he's seen the ball come in and he's able to wait on it. So, and TJ Mitchell, TJ ended up 2-for-2 and two RBIs with a walk in there also and some stolen bases. So TJ, out of our 4 and 5 production there, was awesome having four RBIs. Davis Patzer, he walked twice, put the ball in play with a single, had one RBI. He maybe had two, but I held a guy up and ended up scoring him later on anyways. Brain Danzeason came in for a pitch hit, and he was 1-for-1. So good job with an RBI. So good job, Brain, coming in and getting a pinch hit hit right up the middle. And I believe he was 1-2 or 0-2 at that time, too. So good job by Brain to fight it off and get a pitch that he wanted. So pitching showed up. Brock Bjerneld threw 5 innings. He had, I have it here somewhere, give me a second, 5 innings, 9 strikeouts, and 1 walk, and 1 hit by pitch. So he only allowed 2 guys on, and only 1 guy on second base. So another outstanding pitching performance by us, and hats off to both pitchers, both Tuesday and Thursday. And again, ending in 5 is huge. So hats off to our guys for stepping up and putting up the runs for us.
Well, then today, you start out with the Border West. They're a team that beat Dawson Boyd earlier in the season, so they tradition.
Right, yep. Mike Ottleman's a town team guy forever. You know he's going to have a good team. He knows ball. So I haven't seen anything other than their scores. I don't know what they have, what they're going to throw at us with a non-conference game. Sometimes it's a chance to get somebody that hasn't seen many innings on the mound a chance to throw. So I'm excited to play them because we want the best. The only way we're going to get better is facing good teams and seeing good pitching. So I'm excited for them to come to our tournament, and then we'll follow that up with the last game of the day against YME, which is a conference game because our regular scheduled conference game got postponed because of the rain, so we just switched it to this Saturday to have that. So another big conference game for us this Saturday.
Okay, and you got a busy week next week.
Tuesday, Pipestone comes to home for us. I think maybe it was previously announced that it might have been Monday, but it is Tuesday night at 5 o'clock. We are going to have senior night. We're going to honor our seniors and the senior parents. So if you want to come down and thank a senior for playing ball for so many years, it'd be a great opportunity. Watch some good ball. Hopefully it's a beautiful night. And then on Thursday, we have... KMS at home. So KMS is one of the top teams in the conference. So we kind of been looking at, we never want to look ahead. We don't look ahead. We always look at the team in front of us. But we know KMS is tough. And for high schoolers not to look at that on the schedule is tough. So we're excited to see them come to town too. And then we'll go up to Morris and have a non-conference game against them on Friday. JV got three innings in, and then the rain came. So we were postponed again with Morris. But JV is going to go with us and have some more innings. So that'll be Friday up in Morris at 4:30, I believe.
Okay, and the JV is doing very well as well.
JV's playing well. Coach Kittleson's got them winning some games, and they're learning, and that's what we want.
That's right. Okay, Darby, well, best of luck. Come on down to the ballpark today. A full day of baseball with three high school games, and then the Mallards open up their season starting at 7:30 against Cottonwood.
Right on. It will take everybody that comes down. Hopefully it's a beautiful day, so let's get as many people down here to cheer on some baseball as we can.
It's Darby Beragon on baseball. We'll have more of the Culture Show after this.
The Gary American Legion 109 Club, Gary, South Dakota, is going to be open Saturday, May 11th, with a full menu of great meats and side dishes from 5 to 8:30 p.m. Takeouts available by calling in advance. Or come on in, eat it right there. Mothers receive $3 off their meal. That's this Saturday, May 11th, 5 to 8:30 p.m. Enjoy a great meal at the Gary American Legion 109 Club.
Ryan Smith Seeds says it's time to make every seed count with Agri Partners' premier seed line, AP Select, offering varieties with Enlist E3, Liberty Link GT27, and conventional soybeans, as well as Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans in a premium corn lineup through REA Hybrid. We have a seed product fit for your field. Call Ryan Smith today at 320-226-1079 or Agri Partners at 605-874-2550. Ryan Smith Seeds.
It's May 11th. Happy birthday going out to Sylvia Halverson today, Samantha Hoyles, Dan Croat, Julie Erickson in Dawson, Brady Keeman, Sabrina Scold of the birthday, Zane Ramo, Angel Hong, Pastor Ron Nichols, formerly over at Faith Lutheran, and Matt Adams celebrated today. On Sunday, happy birthday to Darren Motz, Isabella Martinson, Jim Tasto, Sandy Hoyam, Denise Lehman, Maureen Dykema, Jeff Liebel, and happy anniversary Sunday to Larry and Polly Shakey. Hope you all have a great weekend.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to talk Lac La Parle Valley softball with head coach Scott Sawatsky. And good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, I shouldn't say good morning because we're recording this Friday. So,
right.
You're in, where are you at today?
We are going to be in Wabasso on Saturday having a tournament there where we get to see several teams from the southern part of the section. So we're excited to go compete there.
All right. Well, the girls are playing very well, and you had a number of games this year, or this week.
Yeah. Yep, this week. We had four games this week, and then obviously three on Saturday. But we started off the week on Tuesday with a doubleheader at Dawson Boyd, which you were able to broadcast. We always appreciate that, and I think our listeners appreciate it too. Mm-hmm. So, and game number one was, honestly, Paul, not one I necessarily want to recap a whole lot on. We really struggled. My book shows us with nine errors in that game. I would be remiss if I didn't think there were even a few more that didn't get marked. But it's a game that we want to forget, but somehow, like one of the umpires told me, it's a character builder. And so that's what we're going to walk away from with it, is a character builder. Val Piotr did a really nice job pitching for us, but we just could not make plays behind her. She threw four innings, only gave up three hits, gave up seven runs, but only one of them was earned, and had two strikeouts and one walk. So It was a frustrating deal to watch her do what we needed her to do and not fall in behind her, you know, as a team. And that stuff happens, but it's a good game to be done with and hopefully out of our system. And honestly, since that game, we've really cleaned things up and played much better. Offensively, we had Jalen Lee was 1 for 4, scoring a run. Kayla Jan was 1 for 4, scoring 2 runs. Brandy Meyer was 2 for 4, scoring 2 runs. Claire Borsted was 1 for 4 with a run. Callie Kahn was 2 for 2. And Maya Swatsky was 1 for 2, scoring a run. So a lot of different things there. And we got down early. Well, we scored the first run of the game. Then Dawson came back and answered. Coach Doran has done a nice job with them. And I know that they're continuing to build. But in the third inning, we kind of pounced on some things and took advantage of some base hits, some Dawson errors, et cetera, and scored five runs in that inning. And just really never looked back at that point. And, again, had kind of a big sixth inning. That was it. In that inning, it was Maya had her first varsity hit, so she led off the inning with a triple, and that was kind of an exciting father-daughter moment.
Yes, it was.
As she headed over to third base, she got a little hug from me and had a big smile on her face. We had brought her in to pitch in the fifth inning, and to close things out, just kind of felt like we needed a change of pace, that worked out well. She gave up 2 hits, 1 run, one of them, and it was earned. Had 6 strikeouts and 1 walk, and so essentially a team win, but a messy one. But we ended up coming away from that one by a 10-8 total.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So then we moved on to game two, and that one went just defensively. We played so much better. We made some key plays in the field. Maya started that game for us through all 7 innings. Gave up 5 hits, no runs, had 12 strikeouts and 3 walks. Offensively, we did a really nice job. Kayla Jan was 1 for 3 with an RBI. Kendall Shelstead was 2 for 3, scored a run and had an RBI. Brandy Meyer was 1 for 3. Claire Borsted was 1 for 2, scoring a run. Callie Kahn was 1 for 3, scoring a run. Callie's really heated up for us at the offensive side of things. Jada Kessler was 1 for 2, scoring a run. And Zoe Doctor was 0 for 1, but she scored twice for us, got on base with a walk and was hit by a pitch. And so we ended up winning that game 6-0 to get out of there with 2 victories. And we knew that we were going to be heading into a very tough KMS team on Thursday. And at this particular point, you know, we talked to the girls about, number one, we talked about energy and positive energy, picking each other up when maybe things aren't going so great. And they, as we walked into the field on Thursday against KMS, they totally brought that energy with them. KMS is always going to have, you know, they have a solid team. We're in the hunt for a conference title at this particular point. And so we knew that there's some big stuff at stake. And then we talked also about, we're in the hunt, and I think probably a favorite right now for a one seed in the Section 3A North. So the girls have done an outstanding job. So Thursday we showed up to KMS, and Val got the ball for game one. Really did an outstanding job throwing, putting us in a good situation. Our girls made great plays, just were solid defensively. We only had 1 error. So that just helps when you're not having to make those extra outs in an inning. Val Stapp Lyons, she threw all 7 innings of this game, only gave up 5 hits, 2 runs, both of them earned, had 4 strikeouts and 4 walks. And then, this game was a close one. We were down 2-0 after 3 innings, and we were the home team in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the bottom of the fourth, we kind of reared back and scored 3 runs, so we took a lead. And it was tight. It was a nail biter. And then all of a sudden, in the sixth inning, our bats exploded. Just hit after hit after hit were happening. And so we the offensive stat line ends up with Kayla Jan going 2 for 4, scoring 2 runs. Kendall Shelstead was 4 for 4, scoring two runs. Brandy Meyer, 1 for 3, scoring twice with 2 RBIs. Claire Borstead, 1 for 3, scoring a run with 2 RBIs. Callie Kahn, 1 for 3, scoring a run with an RBI. Jada Kessler, 1 for 3, scoring a run with an RBI. Val Piatter, 1 for 3, with an RBI. And basically, that's the whole lineup, you know, that's really contributing to this game. And in the bottom of the fifth, we scored 6 runs, which really gave Val that comfort level of, okay, I have a little bit of cushion here to work with, but she just went out and shut the door. And we end up winning that game 9-2 with 11 total hits on the day. And just a great all-around performance by our team and a really big game.
Awesome. All right.
And then we slide into the second end of the doubleheader with KMS, and Maya got the start in that one. And we kind of picked up where we left off. First inning, we were the visiting team at this particular point, so we're locking horns at 0-0. KMS has a couple good pitchers, but in the second inning, our bats exploded again, and we scored 5 runs. And pretty legit stuff. We did not have any errors this game. KMS did have 2 errors, but our hits were pretty legit hits. I mean, we were driving some balls. There were plays that KMS made where we hit balls really hard, and they just made some plays. But I was super impressed offensively with what we threw out there. We got another run in the third, so we're up 6-0 at that point. KMS came back in the bottom of the third to score 2 runs, so it's 6-2. But then the door was shut. Maya threw strikes. The team made plays, and we end up winning the game 6-2. Maya, through all 7 innings, gave up 6 hits, 2 runs, both of them earned, had 14 strikeouts and 1 walk. And then offensively, we had some key contributors. Jalen Lee went 2 for 4 with a run and an RBI. Kayla Jan was 1 for 3 with a walk. Claire Borstead, was 2 for 3 with 2 runs. And Callie Kahn was 3 for 3 with a run and 2 RBIs. And Zoe Doctor had a run as well. I think she was hit by a pitch, I believe. So just really key performances here. We head into the weekend to Saturday with really excited about where we're at and the teams we're going to get to play. At the Wabasso tournament, Wabasso's there, TMB, Bold, KMS, Edgerton, Southwest Christian, Murray County Central.
Oh, wow.
It's a pretty loaded lineup. And then our first game will be against Redwood Valley at 10:30 there. So we're going to get down there early and scout and see what these other teams have so that we have some familiarity with them as we head into section play.
Okay. All right. And next week, and then the section games will be coming up shortly, I'm guessing.
Yep, exactly. So next week we actually have a pretty fun event out here on Tuesday, May 14th. So if people can make it, that would be awesome. We have 4 varsity teams coming to host at our field. It's just with some grain outs and all that stuff. Mr. Stelter was able to coordinate some stuff so that we could host a pretty fun event. We play Lakeview at 2 o'clock p.m., so note that time, and that's because they have a concert conflict that they have to get back for. But we'll be playing a varsity game at 2 o'clock p.m. against Lakeview, and then at 4 o'clock p.m., there will be a varsity game. We will play TMB, and then on the JV field, Lakeview will be playing Ortonville.
Wow.
And then on the lower field, the JV teams will be playing Lacaparo. TMB and Ortonville are going to have a little bit of a 5-inning per game round robin. So a lot of ball being played out there. And then at 6 o'clock, TMB will play Ortonville. So just a day of ball. There's a junior high track meet, I believe, that day. I think a junior high baseball game may be out there.
Wow.
And so a lot of big events, and that's our second annual dugout club meal. Mike Forstead's going to do some grilling for us. We're going to have burgers, brats, steak cubes, beans, just all sorts of fun stuff. So if people are available and can make it out to see some good softball, we'd love to have your support. And we are, you know, we're in the hunt for a conference championship. So those are two really big games. And the team that stands kind of in our way right now is Mineota, who we see on Thursday for a single game. And right now we have not been beat in the conference, and Mineota has only been beat once, to my knowledge, you know, as of today. So we'll see what happens next week, but that could be a really big game on Thursday,
right?
As well. So
okay, wow, busy week coming up then for the Lady Eagles.
Yeah, busy week and fun times. We're excited, and we seem to be clicking and playing well right now and have some good things going. So,
what's the record? What's your record, Scott?
Oh, boy.
Put you on the spot.
You are going to put me on the spot, but I believe I'm just going to confirm it here real quick. I believe we're sitting at 12-3
okay.
right now, I believe.
Good. All
so,
right.
Yeah, we're playing well.
Good. Well, best of luck today in Wabasso, you said, right?
Yes, correct. Thank you.
Yep. All right, and we'll talk to you next Saturday on the Coach's Show then. You'll have a lot to talk about, and I'll be out there on Tuesday broadcasting the Lakeview at 2 o'clock, right?
That is correct.
Okay. All right, we'll see you Tuesday, and I'm going to have some steak cubes.
I love it. Thanks, Paul.
Scott Sawatsky, head coach of the Lock Pearl softball team, will be back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
My name is Claire Borsted, and I'm a senior on the Lac Parle Valley softball team. I'd like to thank the following home run sponsors: Lubbock-Zink Tiling, Cargill, Holloway Rod and Gun Club, Fernholtz Concrete, Clement Electric, Kibble Equipment, Appleton VFW Post 4955, Meyer Farms, Piotr Construction, Turgestad Pioneer Seed, Perry Sun Bank, The Dryer Doctors, Martinson Foundation, Blake and Roma Dineen Family, Bellingham American Legion Post number 441, Q92 FM Radio, Milan Legion Post number 359, Healing Journey Massage by Sue, Appleton Dental Care, Joe and Deb Schreier, Appleton Sportsman's Club, Golden Harvest Traeger Seeds, Appleton Area Health, Madison Chiropractic Center, Richard and Sam Meyer Family, Borsted Rock and Excavation, Ag Country, Zarbuck Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Mike and Deanne Munsterman Family, Milan Community Foundation, and the Appleton Community Foundation. Thank you to all our home run sponsors and all donors for your support of our softball program and the LKPV Dugout Club.
Watch Prairie Sportsman airing Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television. Join host Brett Amundson and adventure into the world of outdoor sports and the science of natural resource restoration. Top it off with a toast to local artists, cooks, and brewers. That's Prairie Sportsman, Sunday nights, 7:30. On Pioneer PBS.
A bridal brunch in honor of Isabel Sherm, bride-to-be of Dane Haas, will be held today. This will be a come-and-go event from 10 this morning till noon at the Appleton Golf Club, and everyone's welcome. For registry information, visit their Zola.com website. And that bridal brunch for Isabel Sherm, bride-to-be of Dane Haas, today from 10 to noon over at the Appleton Golf Club.
Paul Ramo back here in the studio wrapping up the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Just want to remind everyone, big ball game coming up here at Madison Memorial Baseball Field this morning. Lac Parle Valley will be taking on Border West. That's at 11 o'clock this morning here in Madison. And later on the day, Lac Parle will play YME. So two outstanding games there at the ball field today. Dick Newman will be back in the studio next Saturday. Thanks for listening to the Coaches Show, everyone.
Q92 Country Time at 9:54. Great music for Madison, Canby, and Ortonville on Q92, 92.1 FM.
This ain't a song for the broken hearted. My life is now or never. I ain't gonna live forever.
smile.